Welcome to Sensible Health Solutions, the show where we simplify health and wellness. Join your hosts, Haley Fields and Dr. Scott Looper, as they share practical tips and expert insight to help you navigate common ailments, nutrition, and overall well-being. Tune in for straightforward advice that empowers you to live a healthier life.
Hello, Haley.
Good morning, Dr. Looper. How are you?
Good. Very good.
Good. Well, last episode, we went over seasonal affective disorder, and I think we should stay on the same note of dopamine. I feel like it's a pretty hot topic right now. A lot of people are wondering where they get their dopamine from, how they get their dopamine, what happens when I get too much dopamine, what happens if I don't get enough dopamine. So another disorder associated with dopamine, I think, to cover that everybody deals with today is ADD and ADHD.
Yeah. Interesting how seasonal affective disorder and ADD are cousins.
Right.
They're really kind of different manifestations of the same disease.
Yeah.
Because the fundamental dysfunction, I don't know, dysfunction is a strong word to use with ADD, because ADD isn't really a disease. We'll come to that. But whatever it is, it depends on...
It's
on
a disorder, right?
No.
And is there anything different between ADD and ADHD?
Yeah, ADD is an attention deficit disorder. ADHD is attention deficit hyperactivity disorder.
What's the difference?
Let me give you the big picture here. This is not a disease. I'll say it again. Not a disease. What it is a variation of normal. These people are not diseased. They are normal. They just function differently. They are better in certain situations than normal people. Now, where they're not better is doing seat work in a classroom.
Yes.
They're decidedly not better, because seat work, it takes focus and it's kind of boring, and it takes a certain discipline to be able to focus your attention on the math problems that are in front of you, or conjugating verbs, whatever you're doing. The people with ADD tendencies need simulation. And normal people, if they're overstimulated, become shut down. They become overstimulated. They just are overwhelmed.
They get overwhelmed. And they shut down.
And they shut down. Whereas people with ADD, when they're overstimulated, they feel normal. They don't feel shut down. They feel normal. They feel like this is what I was born for, is
right.
doing this
they
thing.
They shine.
They feel good. They feel normal, like this is the way to do it.
Yeah.
And so in the world, there are situations, there are jobs, there are professions, there's whatever, where there's a lot of stimulation going on, and ADD people do that better. One of the classic professions is acting. You're up on stage. There's all these people watching. There's this intensity to it. The dopamine flows, you know, intensely. And people with ADD feel better. And so there's a high percentage of people in the performing arts that are ADD or ADHD. There are also people who have this characteristic tend to do very well as soldiers. So having somebody shoot live bullets at you, that'll rattle most people.
Running through a battlefield, that.
Yeah. Right. And be able to keep your wits about you and feel, you know, not only feel good, but also have your brain work correctly, not be overwhelmed and not be freaked out and not be crying or laying in a ditch or screaming or doing crazy stuff. You're really just thinking about the situation and you're engaged. That's ADD.
You can think about the situation, and then you can think about the next level of the situation, or like five steps ahead of that situation.
You feel better and you feel alert, and these people are valuable to society.
Yes.
We need these people. Societies that have a goodly percentage of folks that have these characteristics tend to do well as a society, and they tend to compete against other societies better. So there's a definite a selection bias towards people with ADD in the real world.
So with ADD and ADHD, typically they're prescribed Ritalin or Adderall or some sort of stimulant.
Yeah. Yeah.
That, I'm interested to know why. Is it a stimulant? Because it seems like you're already going a million miles per hour in your head. Why do you need to dump gasoline on the fire?
Interesting, isn't it? It goes against common sense.
Right.
These people, the ones that can't sit still, these are the ones that are causing trouble. Okay, so let me give an example.
So why do we need to give them something that would energize them?
I'll get there. Imagine you're in a classroom with a bunch of, fourth graders. And you're all doing seat work. And the one with ADD feels restless and irritated. And he's already got up and you got a drink and used the bathroom. And now he's still feeling restless. And he knows how to solve this problem, this restlessness. All he needs to do is take a little piece of paper and tear it, right? Put it in his mouth, chew it up, make spit wad, and then shoot it through a straw and hit the girl in the back of the head up in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
And then she cries. He gets in trouble. Now he's going to the principal's office. Now he's in trouble. Dopamine is flowing intensely, and he feels great.
Yep.
Now he solved his problem.
Yep.
Now, unfortunately for the rest of the class,
they're
and for the
distracted.
Teacher.
The girl is picked on. It's all
they're
disruptive.
Not into it.
Right.
Yeah, they'd rather have everybody get along and follow the rules and
sit then,
nicely.
Like, the kid who's acting out, like, does eventually feel bad for what he's done, but why do we need to give a stimulant to these?
I just told you. So he took that piece of paper and he shot it at the back of the girl's head, swack, and it stuck to her. And he gets this rise because now he's in trouble.
Okay,
people are yelling at him.
Rise.
He got a stimulant.
Okay.
Now, he could also just take drugs, which puts the stimulant into his system, and now he's already stimulated. He didn't need a stimulant. He's fine. We just kick back and do sea work. I feel good. That's it.
Okay.
As long as you're stimulated, you're good.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. The problem with the drugs, first of all, the drugs work.
Oh,
I'll
absolutely.
Tell you right now, they absolutely work.
Yes.
The problem with the drugs is now you got this stimulant in your system, and so your system runs on the stimulant side, so more of your energy is going to go towards activity in your muscles and your brain and all this other stuff, and less towards growing. So a side effect of these stimulants it suppresses your growth.
Growth in what?
In getting big, going from small to big.
Oh.
Growing up to 6'7" is going to be hard to do when you're on Ritalin.
Oh.
I don't know if you knew that. Obviously,
nope.
You didn't. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a side effect for sure. So what the doctors will do is they'll play the minimum dose game. They'll do the lowest dose they can that gets a kid from getting in trouble and so that they don't get the very strong suppression of their growth. Okay. Now, if it doesn't work, they can increase the dosage, but then you increase the chances that the kid's going to be undersized, and so, if you want to be a professional athlete, that could be real detriment.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
There it is.
Interesting.
So it's just playing this kind of trying to get everybody to fit together
and
game.
And what are other side effects of long-term stimulant use?
Well, I don't know. Long-term, short-term, it's hard to fall asleep.
Uh-huh.
So normally what these things are dosed in the morning.
Yep.
And then they let run out by nighttime.
Right.
So they're out of your system. You don't take them late.
No.
If you miss your dose, that's it. You don't take it.
Yep.
You're
going to
go a day without. So there's that. And,
And from what I've heard, friends describe it as, because, I have been curious, am I ADD? Am I ADHD? What does it feel like when you're on Ritalin? And a lot of friends say that it just streamlines all of their thoughts. So they have a bunch of ideas, a bunch of things they want to accomplish, a bunch of tasks in their brain, and when they take their medication, it just compartmentalizes and puts it in a line for them so that they can function one thing at a time.
Yes, they function better under pressure. They can produce more under pressure than normal people. So one of the best ways to solve this is not necessarily to take drugs. It's just to recognize that you need pressure. And then for you to get stuff done, you just got to have pressure. Let me give you some ideas about how to do this. And I think they're self-evident. Well, one of those things is if you do your work standing up. So if you stand up, if you're on the ball of your feet, you're making more stress hormones. We know that because we check people's stress response by having them, we take their blood pressure sitting, and then we have them stand up. And your blood pressure should go up 10 points. And if it doesn't go up 10 points, or heaven forbid, it drops, we know that they got a problem with that system.
Or if it doesn't rise as much, then that system
is... Still, there's a degree of problem there.
Yeah.
And then if there's a degree, if the degree is high enough, then we can treat it, because we know how to treat it. We don't give them Ritalin. That would work, by the way. But what we give them is adrenal support, and then their body makes its own Ritalin. Now, Ritalin is not or Adderall is not a thing. It's really what they're looking for is catecholamines. Remember, we started off by saying there's a relationship between seasonal affective disorder and ADD. What's the connection?
Dopamine.
Dopamine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Catecholamines in general.
Okay.
If catecholamines are running low, in some people you get seasonal affective disorder.
And dopamine is a catecholamine?
And dopamine is a catecholamine.
Okay.
Catecholamines are several, dopamines are one of them.
Okay.
Which is really the main one.
Okay.
So ADD, same thing. If their catecholamines are running low, they're restless, they're unfocused, they're looking to make trouble. Because if they make trouble, then they're going to feel better. The dopamine level is going to come up, and then they're feeling great.
And something interesting that I've heard recently is that dopamine isn't necessarily the pleasure that you get from the thing. It's the pursuit of pleasure.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
And from what I can tell with thinking if I have my own ADHD is I start so many little projects. I start, and I never actually get to fruition.
You feel better from the start. It's the start. The novelty.
It's the start.
Novelty. It's not a grind to get it done. It's the novelty that makes you feel better. Your mood picks up by starting something, by doing something new, by changing what you're doing and going doing something else. So let's go back to kids. Actually, let me do a segue into adults. So adults have enough sophistication to be able to figure out, you know, mostly, not everybody, but mostly, to figure out how to focus. They have tricks, they have things. They can figure out how to focus. So it's not so much a problem of them sitting at the office in their cubicle and then chewing up a piece of paper and shooting spit wads at the neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
That usually doesn't happen for adults. So what they end up having, how that manifests for them, is it's not a lack of attention. Okay, it's attention deficit disorder. The deficit of attention is in the name of the disease.
Right.
But I want to tell you, it's misnamed. There is no deficit of attention.
Well, from what is it just a deficit of focus?
Is it restlessness?
Restlessness.
Restlessness is what it is. Because once they get attention, people with ADD have more attention than normal people. More. This is their superpower.
Yeah.
This is why they're different. This
is
what
they can do. They can multitask so many different levels.
They're just better at this thing instinctually than other people are. But they require pressure. They require deadlines. And when they do get that, they lose track of time. They're able to do more for longer than normal people to the detriment of their life. Because now it's 3:00 in the morning, you're gonna have to be up at 7, and you're doing this project and you've lost track of time. That is adult ADD. That's exactly what it is. They focus super intensely. Now it's not only adult, it's also kids. We had an ADD kid, neighbor kid, who came over and looked for change in the couch. And he was at it for 2 hours, found $3 worth of change
nice.
In my couch. I didn't know there was a nickel in that couch. He found $3 worth of loose change in that couch. He was the most thorough, intensely focused kid I'd ever seen because he kept getting these little prizes that lifted his spirits and got him, egged him on to do more. He was way out of perspective because his focus was so intense. It was solidly crazy.
Yeah.
That was a lot of time to put in for $3 worth of change. Now, admittedly, he got a result out of the thing.
Absolutely.
It surprised me. But, I mean, I don't know if that was the best use of his time, right? Because he had this ADD tendency to over-focus, particularly when there's rewards online, particularly when there's this intensity that goes with, you know, whatever the task is. So here's the way to treat these kids. Create the intensity. Fake it. And it's easy enough to do when you want them to sit down and do their homework. I have an ADD kid that I live with, right? So I know what it's like. What I need to do is I need to set a timer. If I set a timer, now there's pressure. And he'll do incredible amounts of work under the timer, right? You have 20 minutes. You have 45 minutes worth of homework to do. I'm giving you 20 minutes to do it. Here it goes. Tick, 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 tick. Right? And then after that, you're going to have to stop your homework and you're going to have to run around and play. You have to run around and play. You cannot watch TV. You cannot sit. You have to run around for another 20 minutes. So if you don't get done, you're required to go run around. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's not that much of a punishment. It seems like a nice enough thing to be able to do. Whatever, it creates this intensity. And he cranks through his homework, was super focused, more than a regular kid would do. A regular kid would, you know, get a drink of water and work on the problem.
Yeah.
And then look out the window and think about the clouds and then do whatever. Not him. Work, work, work. Bam, bam, bam. Super focused. Going through the spelling, doing the conjugating, do all the things you guys got to do. And then bing. Okay, now change. Go do something else. Because this is what a superpower is. You have now you can run around. You have to go outside.
So you're working with the
attributes. His nature.
Yes.
His nature. We're working with his nature, and we're utilizing the superpower that he has. He's got this thing, and other kids do too, not just mine. He's got this thing where if there's an intensity to the situation, he feels better. So he is fabulous at sports. Because now the whole team needs him. He needs to kick a goal. And there's an intensity that goes with it. And he's fabulous. Absolutely fabulous. Now, I'm not saying he always keeps things in perspective all the time. He's also a kid, and he cries, and he gets his feelings hurt. There's all this other stuff that goes on, like everybody else. It's not like, you know, he's not a kid. He's definitely a kid. But as long as there's pressure there, he's a better version of himself. And without the pressure, he's restless. So what these kids also are very, very drawn to, and my boy is absolutely that way, is video games. He'll get dopamine whatever way he can.
Well, the video games just, yes, also release tons of dopamine because you're having to do these short little missions that, honestly, like, you're not using gross motor skills for. You're using your dexterity. You're using a little bit of mental function in figuring out the puzzle, but it's not as much effort for the entire body system, so it's the cheap dopamine. So
what happens in the long run? He goes crazy.
Yeah.
We have seen it. And I have pointed out to him, he denies it vigorously.
Oh, yeah.
Video games are good for me.
My daughter, too. My daughter's on her tablet. She does Roblox. That is the cheap dopamine that she likes. She's not necessarily into the mission aspect of the games yet, from what I can tell. When she plays games, it's like building Minecraft, Roblox, but it's still cheap dopamine, and it inhibits her want or desire to build that Lego set that she's been sitting on for 2 weeks, or play with her Barbies in her Barbie house, or whatever. Like, the thing that won't give you as quick of dopamine.
Yep, that's the world we live in, for sure. So these ADD kids are super, they have a superpower is what they have.
And these ADD incredible. Adults.
And adults, too, for that matter.
Yeah.
It's a superpower. But it comes at a cost. With great power comes great responsibility, right? And then you got a responsibility to keep it in check and not overdo it. Not stay up till 3 o'clock in the morning. Not put 17 hours into your video game. I mean, honestly, given Patrick's druthers, he'd be on video games the entire day. And then come the evening, around 6 o'clock, he would be insane.
Yes.
He would be literally flipping
yes,
flipping
yes, yes.
off the walls and not knowing why, just knowing he was restless because he hasn't moved so much. So what we do is we run our lives on timers.
Yeah.
And then everything's on a timer. He runs a timer all the time. His whole life is set with timers. So you have to basically... subcontract time management, because people with ADD are so bad
and
at time management.
And this is like the thing with adults too.
Same thing. You got to set up timers. You got to set up systems that will that will put in the time, because you don't do it on your own in your own brain. It's a weakness. Time management is a weakness for these people.
What
being
can
able
you
to
say
float
about...
above and see it in a big perspective is a weakness. The attention is not a weakness. They have super attention. Super attention.
Yes.
The problem is perspective. So it's a misnomer. Really, it turns out it's a perspective disease or perspective deficiency, not attention, perspective. And so if you can give them perspective, you can wire that in with a timer, or you take time and you start playing perspective games, what would you do if, those kind of things. You know, let's imagine you're in a situation, what's the big picture here? I do this with them all the time because I need to. This is where he's deficient. And so we play games, honestly. And that's one of the ways we are able to get the big picture is by playing games. So why did you attack that guy right there? Because he was in my territory. Yeah, but notice that these other three guys were attacking you and you had your attention over here. You need to be building your walls, whatever. You're talking about the strategy, yeah. Right? And then he floats up. You know, bit by bit, floats up. So for me, I see it as an asset and a detriment both, but it's something that, you know, it's not a disease. Bottom line, it's not a disease.
Right. It's not. It's a superhero power. And so going back to the beginning of the episode and how it ties in with dopamine, if you can get dopamine levels to a normal level, do they still have
They are able to keep perspective. They're able to feel good. They feel right. Everything goes in the right direction. So how do you get dopamine levels up? Well, dopamine is made out of tyrosine, and a cofactor are B vitamins, B6 in particular. And so what you do is you give them tyrosine and B6, and they make more dopamine. But they have to exercise. Without exercise, the whole system doesn't work. Now, if you just exercise without...
Like right before exercise, there like a window that you have to take it within?
No. Okay. You just take it whenever.
Okay.
It's in your system. Now, eventually, get cleared out of your system, and no one necessarily convert. You can do other things with tyrosine. You can just burn it for fuel. You know, you can just use it to run the machinery of your cell. So not all of it gets converted. So you do need to create a call for dopamine. Your body needs to say, hey, we need more dopamine down here. Send us some dopamine. And then the dopamine-producing cells start making dopamine. You did have to have a call. Why would you have a call? Because there was something going on that you need more attention for. Mm-hmm. Because you're in danger.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's an intensity to the situation. Because whatever the thing is, right? There's a call. You need more dopamine. And so your body starts cranking dopamine out. Now, if you have plenty of tyrosine available... because you're eating protein or you're taking tyrosine pills, whatever, or powder. The other thing is if you have plenty of B vitamins available for us, for cofactors on this thing.
What then can you eat that has B vitamins in it?
Food has B vitamins, though B vitamins are easily... You have to eat actual fruits and vegetables and, you know, whole grains and stuff like that to actually get B vitamins. So you have to have a healthy diet to really get adequate amounts of B vitamins. These kids generally are carb crazy. All they want to do is eat carbs. They don't want to eat protein. They just want to eat carbs.
Well, the carbs just give you the dopamine hit.
They give you a dopamine hit, right? And the protein doesn't do it. And so they don't want to eat the protein. They want to eat Pop-Tarts for breakfast.
They want to eat crackers. They want to eat muffins.
Carbs. Any carby thing is what they want to eat. Because, again, it's a short-run thing. Kids aren't very sophisticated. They can't see the big picture. And so you're going to have to guide these kids to be able to get them to have a better life. And when you do, they feel better, but they won't ever give you any credit for it.
No,
whatever.
Yeah.
Life as a kid, you know, there's walls all around, right?
Yeah.
So the interesting thing about kids is when they're little, below the age of 5, they just need to play. You don't need to do anything with them. Well, between the age of 5 and a half maybe, and, you know, 11, 12, 13, somewhere around there, what they are is they're known as a concrete operations. Their brain works in a different way. They're literal thinkers is what they are. And what they need is walls. They need rules. They crave rules. They need rules so they can master their little world, based with adults around them. And once they get to the age of 12, 13, somewhere around there, their brains change again, and they go into what's known as formal operations where they don't need the rules anymore. What they need is respect. And what they need is they need autonomy. They need to go out and do what they're going to do. And they're driven to go off and do their own thing out of the family. Literally, biologically, they're driven to exit.
Yeah.
And if they're not exiting, there's something wrong. There's a breakdown in the system. So the Indians from India have a saying of how to raise kids that has a grain of truth in it. They say, treat your toddler like a king. Treat your child like a servant, and then treat your teenager like a peer.
Like a peer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like that. Do it like that, because they all need a different strategy.
Job at different segments of their life.
My kid right now, he is absolutely in the servant mode.
Yes.
He needs rules and structure, and he does better with it. He also needs us to set up his life where there's lots of stimulation. He needs to be in sports. He's required to be in sports, literally required. If he doesn't want to do a sport, then I say, okay, we don't have to do the sport. You have to finish the season. And after that, you get to pick a new sport. What do you want to do? Because it's just a matter, not a matter of not doing a sport. You just absolutely have to do a sport. And so he's really got it. He said, okay, whatever, we pick a sport. We're talking about it right now of going doing BMX biking in the summertime because we got to do a sport.
That's
just a rule of life. Mm-hmm. You got to have a sport going. The other thing to consider, and this is, I wouldn't necessarily do with this with kids because it's too druggy, and that is to do that bean powder we talked about in the last show, the Mucuna Perens.
This is for adults.
This is for adults. Mucuna Perens is a bean powder, otherwise known as a velvet bean.
Uh-huh.
And velvet bean, the plant makes L-DOPA, which is a precursor to dopamine. So what happens is tyrosine is not converted straight into dopamine. Tyrosine is converted into L-DOPA. L-DOPA is converted into dopamine. And so if you can skip a step and just do the L-DOPA will go across the blood-brain barrier, and that'll get converted into dopamine easier. You jiggle it, and it'll get converted right away.
And so how many times a day do you do it?
Good question. I recommend 3.
And do you exercise after?
Yes. So in order to get the conversion to take place, you have to create a call for it. Dopamine is needed when our lives are interesting and exciting. Now, if we exercise, that increases in intensity. It increases a call like, wow, we're up, we're doing things, right? We need more dopamine because we got to do this thing right. And so, broop, your body makes more dopamine. Now, you don't need to take Mucuna to make more dopamine. You just can exercise. It'll work fine.
Right.
But if you really want it to go and make sure you grease the skids and you're going to get the maximum benefit, you take Mucuna and B vitamins together. And then you'll make dopamine, like, amazing.
And so when your body makes it from these supplements, does it go into the stores or is it automatically released, the dopamine storage?
I don't know. Here's what I know. You feel better.
Right, you feel better, but I'm wondering if it's, like...
Does it last?
Lasting.
Yes, the answer is yes. Okay. Yes, it does last.
So if you did it in the morning...
So you're better now and you're better later, too.
Yeah, if you did it in the morning, would you then go exercise, build up a storage of dopamine that would last you throughout the day to where you wouldn't have any dips?
Doesn't last that long.
Okay.
It gets used up.
Okay.
And then you're back to where you were. No, it's not like you do once a week and you're good, or once a day and you're good. No, you got to take this on a regular basis. That's how it works. It doesn't get stored very well.
And exercise with it on a regular basis? Like exercise 3 times a day?
Yes. The answer is yes. It'll work better if you exercise. Now, there's a side effect to it. If you take too much, you'll get low blood pressure.
Yeah. That's what we were saying last episode.
Yeah, same thing. You get low blood pressure. Blood pressure goes down.
So, if you get dizzy, if you get faint or weak,
it will be that kind of low blood pressure. You stand up and you get woozy and then you bam, fall down, or you just get woozy.
Yeah.
Because that's what you get. You get this orthostatic hypotension thing.
Okay.
And so there's a risk when you have too much of the Mucuna coming in. That's a side effect.
So then just...
You wouldn't think that beans could be drugs, but they can be.
I wouldn't think that so many things in our clinic would be drugs, but...
Uh-huh.
Like, we found the Scutellaria latifolia, the plant, the herb that
it's
was
a chill
the chill pill,
isn't it? It's
oh
a chill pill.
Gosh,
you take Scutellaria and suddenly you're calm and
quick.
Peaceful.
That was very quick. That was a different feeling. Or Lobelia.
Yeah.
That's
another
was
one.
Also very
Lobelia will make your heart race, though, so you have to be careful not to take too much. Lobelia is gross.
Yeah, and it will give you insane stomach cramps.
Yeah, that's another thing.
Yeah. Yep. I took too much.
Yeah.
I found out.
Herbs can be drugs, too.
Yeah. Dr. Luber, I think that is all the time we have.
All right, Haley.
Yep. Thanks, Dr. Luber.
Thanks.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Sensible Health Solutions. We hope you found today's discussion enlightening and packed with practical tips to enhance your wellness journey. Remember, small changes can lead to big results. If you enjoyed the episode, don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. Your feedback helps us bring you the best content possible. Stay connected with us on social media for more health insights and updates. You can find us at Sensible Health Solutions across all social platforms.
Until next time, stay sensible and stay healthy. This content is for informational purposes only and is not a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Seek medical advice from a healthcare professional for any medical conditions.